Well, yesterday was the Feast of the Ascension, a festival that we will liturgically mark this coming Sunday. And I want to talk to you this morning about how do we read the Bible? And this is particularly pertinent given the psalm that we heard read from, or that excerpt, rather, from Psalm 47. For here this psalm anticipates the ascension of our Lord. And there's a very important way of interpreting the Bible that was first shown to us in a very articulate way by St. Augustine. And St. Augustine had learned this way of reading the Bible from St. Ambrose. You need to know that before St. Ambrose told him how to read the Bible, Augustine looked at the Bible and said, "That's a bunch of nonsense," and didn't take it to heart. But then Ambrose showed him that the New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old is revealed by the New. The new is concealed in the old is revealed by the new. And when we understand this way of reading the Bible, it comes to life for us in a way that it will not otherwise. And indeed, in that passage we had from the Acts, that those who were confronting Paul said that he, Paul, was reading Moses in a way that was inaccurate. But you see, Paul had come to see the very thing that Augustine had seen, that the new is contained in the old, and the old is revealed by the new. And when you come to see the scripture this way, as I will show you in a moment from Psalm 47, it takes on a deeper meaning. So how do we have to read the Bible? Well, it's called a typological reading. And you might say, huh? Father, what in the world are you talking about? What is typology? Well, here is the idea that in the Old Testament, we have all of these types, stories, places, persons, events, that all foreshadow Jesus and the New Testament. From type, we get this word typology. It is the study of Christ as he is foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Now, with that in mind, listen again to this verse from today's psalm. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of the trumpet. A verse written hundreds of years before our Lord was born. Now, in order to understand that verse, we have to first of all understand what did it mean for the Jewish people. And in order to understand that, you need to know something about Near Eastern cultures, particularly as they pertained to royal courts. In the royal court ceremonies of these societies, when a king mounted his throne on the day of his coronation or on a great state occasion, the surrounding court would acclaim the king's rule. The king goes up and the people shout. They celebrate this event. Now, for the Jewish people, this would have been a liturgical event. Most likely, they would have had the Ark of the Covenant that they were bringing into the temple. And as they were putting the Ark of the Covenant in a place of prominence, there would be this celebration. So originally, this verse has a liturgical context, celebrating the Lord's presence enthroned in the ark. But now, when we look at this verse spiritually, when we look at this verse typologically, in light of Jesus, we see how it anticipates his ascension into heaven. And then here's another thing. In the verse it says, the Lord goes up with the sound of a trumpet. Repeatedly in the New Testament, who is the Lord? It is Jesus. And so here, as we see this verse celebrating the ascension, we are then invited to come to a place where we sing praises to God, we sing praises to our King. Now you might say, thank you very much, Father. That's very helpful in a way, but what does it mean for me today? Well, here's the point. When we are able to read the Bible this way, we discover that there is a wonderful uniformity to the biblical witness. This is not just a bunch of words that don't make sense. This is a story that was written over thousands of years. Remember, there is no other book like the Bible. But when we understand how God, by his Holy Spirit, working through human authors, has inspired it, we are then able to be grounded and rooted in this story. And this is particularly important at those times when our stories are experiencing personal struggle. We might be going through times of personal doubt. There are times when our own circumstances are overwhelming. And I love how in the epistle, the Lord says to Paul, you're not going to be alone. I have many believers in the city of Corinth. Well, there are times when, because of our own circumstances, we might feel alone. And so to have the witness, first of all, of the scripture in those times that are overwhelming can be such an encouragement. I'm sure all of us have been thinking about our fellow Albertans of Fort McMurray. And I know in my own life, I can't even imagine what it would be like to go through what they are experiencing at the moment. And this sort of encapsulates in a very kind of concrete way that in all of our lives, our life can come crashing down on us unexpectedly. We can experience the weight of crisis and tragedy, and it exhausts us. And if we don't have a larger narrative in which to make sense out of our lives, then indeed we can be overwhelmed. But when we come to appreciate how the Bible enables us to see that God transcends our personal experiences, we can be a people who praise God, who are able to, in the words of the psalm, clap our hands because our lives are joined to the narrative of God's story. Pope Leo the Great, who was Pope from the year 440 to 461, was able to reflect on this in a homily on the ascension of our Lord. And listen to what Pope Leo the Great wrote. As followers of Christ, we put unhesitating faith in what is not seen by the bodily eye. And we fix our desires on what is beyond sight. Such fidelity could never be born in our hearts, nor could anyone be justified by faith if our salvation lay only in what is visible. There the Pope is saying very clearly what I've been trying to articulate. Ours is a faith where we believe in a world that is beyond visible sight. But the wonderful thing about this invisible world is that it is visibly portrayed on page after page after book after book, Old Testament, New Testament, it is all there in the Holy Bible. This is the story that, when read in the way the church teaches us to read it, will orientate and govern our lives. And I want to end with a prayer that actually comes from my Anglican patrimony. From the Book of Common Prayer on the second Sunday of Advent, there is this beautiful prayer that speaks about Holy Scripture. So let me end by praying it. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.